This is a disappointment. A disappointment indeed.
Let me say it's been a long, long road for both sides.
After midnight, we're gonna let it all hang out.
You're seeing this skinny bill get fatter and fatter.
This is becoming overly complicated.
This is insanity.
After midnight,
regular order.
We're gonna travel and shine.
I would say to my dear friend, the majority leader, we are not celebrating. We are relieved.
We're gonna call talk.
I'm not gonna vote for a pig in a poke.
Senators voting in the affirmative. Graham, Capito, Cassidy. Senators voting in the negative.
After midnight.
Collins, Murkowski.
We're gonna let it all hang out.
McCain.
Defending this nation is our first priority.
I am voting no.
After midnight.
I believe each of us stood for the reasons that we felt were right.
So now I think it's appropriate to ask, what are their ideas?
After midnight.
It'll be interesting to see.
It's gonna be peaches and cream.
We're at this point. Turn the page.
We're gonna cause talk.
Mr. McCain.
No.
After midnight, we're gonna let it all hang out.
You can hear it right there, the gasps in the moment Obamacare repeal died in the United States Senate. This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thank you for being with us. And that moment was how it ended. Last night, as Senate Republicans tried for the fourth time this summer to fulfill their 7.5-year mission to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Days of intense negotiation, after weeks of backroom deals, after months of planning, ended after midnight, when three Republicans voted against their party. Arizona Republican John McCain, the one-time presidential candidate, back in the Senate this week after receiving a diagnosis of brain cancer, joined two other Republicans, Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and just like that, Republicans had 49 votes, not 50. Vice President Mike Pence was in the chamber lobbying and leaning on senators and ready to break a tie on behalf of President Trump. But it didn't matter. Those three Republicans joined Democrats to kill Obamacare repeal for the foreseeable future. It was a stunning political moment for everyone, and especially for Republican Senate Leader Mitch McConnell.
This is, clearly a disappointing moment. From skyrocketing costs to plummeting choices and collapsing markets, our constituents have suffered through an awful lot under Obamacare.
Mary Ellen McIntyre is a healthcare reporter for CQ Roll Call, and she had eyes and ears on the Senate floor last night to explain how it all went down.
Senator Collins of Maine voted no, as most people had expected. Senator Murkowski, who had also voted no on repeal bills earlier this week, also voted no. And then John McCain, who, when his name was called, hadn't voted, went down to the well. He gave the thumbs down, and that was it. He had voted no against Obamacare repeal.
Mary Ellen, why these votes no? I mean, Republicans had billed this latest effort, not really as a healthcare policy, but said, look, we're having a lot of trouble. Don't let repeal die. It's too important to Republicans. It's too important to President Trump. Pass this little skinny thing that we have on the floor and let's get to a negotiation with the House. Let's just keep the process moving. So why do Murkowski, Collins, and then McCain say no?
So Senators Murkowski and Collins had been basically against everything that had gone on the floor earlier this week. Both of them were very concerned as to what this would do to their constituents in Maine and Alaska, and they were both really concerned with the process. Senator Collins has been calling for weeks now, let's return to regular order, let's do hearings, let's have markups. We shouldn't be crafting such a major bill that's going to overhaul the health care system in this country without any hearings on it. Senator McCain was a little bit different. He voted earlier in the week to start debate. He'd voted to advance a repeal and replace plan, but he'd voted against a straight repeal plan. And then Thursday, he wouldn't say earlier in the day how he felt about a skinny repeal bill. He said he wanted to speak with his governor, Arizona Governor Doug Ducey. He said that he was very concerned that the House would just take up this legislation and that he didn't want this legislation, the skinny repeal, to become law. Later that afternoon, he held a press conference with a couple of colleagues saying, if the House can give us assurances that they will go to a conference committee, that this won't become law, we will vote to advance it. But this is bad policy. We don't want this to become law.
The blow-by-blow story there of how Obamacare repeal failed in the Senate late last night. Well, with this chapter of the healthcare saga behind us, a lot of people are wondering, is it really over and where do Republicans go from here? For more, we turn to Brian Beutler. He's senior editor at The New Republic, and he's been watching the healthcare debate for a long time.
You can never say never when you have a unified government and a unified government from a party that has been talking about wanting to repeal Obamacare for, as you said, going on 7.5, 8 years now. And it's, in, I suppose, theoretically possible that they could reconvene and regroup and before the end of this Congress pass something similar to the legislation that they've been looking at for the last few months. But the way Mitch McConnell ended the debate, both in his words and in his procedural actions, and just in the fact that Republicans have basically kind of ticked down a list of possible options and haven't been able to find majority support for any one of them, it really does seem like the end of the road for this.
So how did we get, though, from a Republican Party that triumphantly passed, 40 or 50 versions of repeal votes over the last many years, and in fact, a Congress that passed repeal that President Obama was forced to veto, how did we get from that self-assurance and that unity to this political disaster that we saw last night?
There's an expression that's gone around a lot since Donald Trump unexpectedly won the presidency, that the Republican Party is the dog that caught the car, which is a way of saying that as long as Barack Obama was the president, Republicans made opposition to him their sort of organizing principle without much thought to what the promises that they were making through their opposition to Obama would mean should they unexpectedly become the governing party in the country. So that meant opposing Obamacare, promising to repeal it root and branch, promising to dismantle it. And at some point, facts on the ground began to emerge. People became insured. There was a moment after the 2012 election when Republicans thought about walking away from repeal, knowing that people would soon start getting the benefits of the law and that in 2016 it might be too late to pull it out. But the internal politics of the Republican Party made that impossible. So they continued to claim to want to repeal the Affordable Care Act without thinking about what it would mean if they actually did it. Once Donald Trump became president, voting to repeal Obamacare stopped being a mobilizing tool and started being something that would actually impact constituents. And when it came time to vote on this final measure, the facts were there. 16 million people would lose their insurance, premiums would go up 20%, markets would fail in many states, and that ultimately wasn't something that the party as a whole decided that they wanted to have attached to their name.
So what does it mean now then, Brian, before we let you go, to have spent all these many years promising this thing, to have built your political platform on repeal, and now you still have to govern or try to govern knowing that you failed?
We're going to have a clash between a faction of the Republican Party that wants to stabilize the Affordable Care Act, make it work better for people, and basically call detente on the healthcare fights, and a more Trumpian faction that wants to try to collapse the Affordable Care Act through regulatory means in the hope of bringing Democrats back to the negotiating table to hash out a different plan.
That's Brian Beutler, senior editor for The New Republic and host of the Primary Concerns podcast. And we also heard from Mary Ellen McIntyre with CQ Roll Call. We want to get a Republican perspective now on what went on in the Senate and what it means for the future of the party. Ryan Williams is a Republican strategist and a former spokesman for Mitt Romney's campaigns in 2008 and 2012. Ryan, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you know what it's like. Your old boss knew what it was like to be caught in the middle of a Republican healthcare debate. Here we are so many years later, and you've got a party that's torn itself in two over repeal.
I actually worked with Governor Romney in the governor's office when we passed the Massachusetts healthcare bill, and it was a difficult process. It took months, but it took leadership, and it was a difficult fight. It took leadership from the corner office, and Governor Romney was able to get it done. And I think what we're seeing in Washington right now is, despite the fact that there's one party control in the Congress and in the White House, we have a president that really doesn't understand the policy details of this legislation and is not taking the kind of active role that you'd expect from a president to get his legislation passed. Governor Romney did that when he was the governor in Massachusetts. And even though I don't agree with him, President Obama took a very hands-on approach to get Obamacare passed about 8 years ago. So I think we're seeing what happens when there's a lack of executive leadership involved in a legislative fight over an issue as serious and as complex as healthcare.
There's a political reality at play here that's probably bigger than whether Donald Trump is on the phone to Congress.
Well, repealing Obamacare is something that Republicans have promised ever since it was passed. It's been the cornerstone of our election victories in 2010 and 2014 and again in 2016. So it's something that we knew we were going to have to address. Now, has it been a perfect process the whole time? No. Is repealing any kind of an entitlement program difficult? Of course it is. Anybody who's involved is going to face backlash. That's why it's so important to get this right and have a leader in the White House who can make the sell. It's not an easy process, even though we do have both houses of Congress to get this done. It requires the president rallying public support for it by selling the plan, going across the country and selling the plan to rally support for the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. And that's not something that he's done in the same way that Obama did it 8 years ago when he went around the country and discussed the plan and laid out why this is the right thing to do despite opposition. So, yes, it is a difficult process, but that's why you have an act. You should have an active president to not only sell it to the public, but also to convince members of his own party to take the tough vote. And we've just not seen that thus far.
And what do you think it means for the political future of the Republican Party now? I mean, lots of members will protect themselves in their own elections, but this is now a party, of course, that is in full control, as you mentioned, and at least for the foreseeable future has failed to fulfill its 7.5-year promise.
Well, I don't think the party should give up on repealing Obamacare. Speaker Ryan put out a statement today saying that despite the loss last night, they're not going to give up. But that being said, I think that we do, if we can't get health care, we do need to rack up some wins on other issues like tax reform, you know, spending cuts, tax pocketbook issues, helping to create jobs. We need to show some degree of legislative success heading into 2018. And hopefully President Trump will learn a lesson from this experience that he does need to really study up on the details. He does need to go sell whatever plan it is, whether it's health care or tax reform, to the public in order to get results. And hopefully he'll be more active, engaged, and familiar with the details of other pieces of legislation going forward, because Republicans do need to show the American public that we can govern, that given the White House, the Senate, and the House, we can get things done for the American people. And if we don't, that's going to be a very difficult thing for us to overcome in the 2018 reelection campaign.
Do you think that these senators, Murkowski and Collins, watching the president and how he handles his staff and how he handles his presidency, are intimidated enough in the future to go his way when he issues threats?
No, I don't think they're intimidated at all. And I think that's because this is a president with a 36% approval rating at this point in most polls. He doesn't have a broad level of support that is really one of the big intimidating factors when you're trying to, you know, if you're trying to muscle a member of Congress. If you're a popular president, you've got more sway than if you're an unpopular president. And, you know, polling has showed that, you know, while I, as a Republican, do believe we need to repeal and replace Obamacare, the process is unpopular. And that's because the president has not gone out and made it popular by selling it.
Ryan Williams, Republican strategist, former spokesman for Governor Mitt Romney in his presidential campaigns. Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.